Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Halloween-themed episode of For Designer Business. Today, we're sharing some of our scariest, funniest, most jaw-dropping interior design horror stories for you. But before we do, will you please treat us by taking a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening? It really helps us as we continue to grow this amazing community of interior designers just like you. Shayna Rose.
Yeah.
I would love you. I just imagine the horror stories you've got rolling around in that brain of yours.
Oh, so dear Lord.
Treat us to a little Halloween treat.
Halloween horror. Maybe we'll go in timeline. You gonna do top three?
Top three.
Okay. Let's go back to 3 years into business because it took 3 years for the IRS to catch this mistake. I love it.
Is there anything more horrifying than the IRS?
I know. The IRS, man, they probably take years. I mean, millions of years off of the collection of people's lives, honestly. Everyone's just terrified of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm about to make your fears worse.
My cortisol levels are spiking already.
The phone rings. Let's set the scene. Evelyn picks up.
It's a foggy evening. It's in the dim of twilight.
She hears panic.
Heavy breathing on the other side of the line.
Honestly, I probably was hyperventilating, couldn't breathe. Like, this was probably the worst of calls you've probably ever received from me.
And I feel like this was when you had even less coping mechanisms. Like, it really used to send you into like a blood sugar spike.
Oh my God.
It was very physiological.
It took over my body. It took over my body.
She's now being possessed, people.
I get the notice. I open up the notice. I unfold the papers. Amount owed, $362,000.
Dun, dun, dun.
Holy. I haven't even made $362,000 yet in a year, let alone how do I owe this? Melt down.
Major melodrama.
First thing I do, also point the blame to Ricky. Poor Ricky. Got the blame first. Lost my absolute marbles on my accountant. Lost it. Where he's also on the other end, as Ricky would, like, calm down. Whatever it is, it's all fixable. I will fix it. Everything is good. Everything has been recorded correctly. So let's just go figure out what happened. Now, IRS doesn't communicate with each other. We're not a smart entity. We don't talk to the business side and the personal side to rectify the issues internally. We just flag it and send out a notice. By the way, just on repeat. I think this notice is automated to send like every 2 weeks. This thing like haunts my life for like what feels like a year.
Creaking open the mailbox.
It also moves at a snail's pace. And P.S., every notice because of interest, it's just going up. It's just climbing. This is probably what leads to my PTSD about mail. Actually, this makes so much sense now. This is probably why I don't open the mail.
It all began here.
It all began here. Traumatized over these IRS notices just firing off on repeat. Okay. What ends up actually happening is in true ownership fashion, it was my fault. My fault. The very first client that ended up being a massive client for me. I think we go on this on one of the episodes. I think with Luann, we talk about this on the episode with Luann. The first big deal, how I did it, how we closed.
Shout out Luann.
Shout out Luann. This client brought in revenue of probably consistently $300,000 to $400,000 every single year. So over the course of 3 years, when I filled out that paperwork, I didn't even have my company EIN yet. It was January 1st. We filled out the paperwork, me and Ev. Then we like snuck into a bar.
That was so fun. You made me pull down my public post. You were like, not yet, not yet.
It has to be until after the ball drops.
You were worried about he who shall not be named seeing it in advance.
Yes, yes.
You made me pull it down. I was so proud of you.
I know. So we do this, we file, I do this big business proposal, don't even have my EIN yet. So they give me the W-9, I seal the deal, And so I fill out that form, not fully understanding that form, just like I didn't fully understand how to set up my business. That was a light horror that cost me $11,000 the first year. But I fill out the paperwork and I put my social security number down because it says EIN or social on that form. So if you don't really understand that form, you're thinking either or. You don't understand right. the consequence of I put my company name on the paperwork. I don't put my personal name, but I use my social. So what happened was all of the income that was reported as revenue, not profit, revenue, what you sell these things at, is reported as my personal income, which the IRS believes I owe taxes on. Terrible. Absolutely catastrophic and terrible.
Catastrophic and terrible, people.
Yeah, all the things. Both. I'll just layer it as many words because it's not like when I called Ricky, he was like, oh, this is what happened. It was a nightmare to figure out what happened to request transcripts and all this thing that moves at a snail's pace with the IRS to wait on hold, to even try to get a human. You need conversations with both sides. Then when we found the problem, I've got to go back to the company and be like, hey, I need you guys to file addendums for me. So I've got to go back and ask them to do all this work under pressure and absolute nightmare. But as my accountant said, he was right. I wasn't going to owe a single dollar of it. Everything was there other than paying him, which honestly, best friend, I don't even think he charged me for it. My this absolute meltdown. Ricky is just ride or die, man. Absolute ride or die. But nightmare number one, fill out your paperwork correctly. Oof.
Nightmare number one. My skin is crawling. It's going to haunt me for days.
Took like a year, maybe over a year of notices every 2 weeks, just hammering you. And just when we have Ricky on here, he's going to have stories on stories of just calming my ass down like big time.
But imagine now, like you have so many more responsibilities now and like so much more hangs in the balance. It was the right time in your life to have that fear, but it was horrifying.
It was horrifying at that time. Now it's like a notice comes. I'm like, here you go. I don't even like, I don't even want to open it.
What do you mean? You don't even know you have him open your mail for you now.
Well, now we're looking for me to not even open it. No point in needing that anxiety. Here you go. And I don't even read through it. And nor do I even care what it says because I just know that if it's something crazy, it's probably an issue. It's not even my problem. He'll fix it.
It's not your problem.
Open your mail, people. Open your mail.
All right.
Okay.
Whew. That was a toughie. Toughie, but a goodie.
Yeah. It's all right now.
Now, I would ask, do you have more of a project and or client related horror story in your business journey?
We're going to go to present day now. This is a recent one where we had a client contracted with us steal an employee.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Steal an employee. And then the employee came to me telling me how the situation was going to go down.
I think you got to really set the scene.
I'm going to set the scene. This is a message I get. We know the assistant is going to freelance. We've agreed. She's going to go out. She's going to work part-time for us. She's going to go freelance.
Fair enough.
Not to our clients, right?
Not to our client list. Surely any reasonable professional would know you don't steal business.
So I get this Slack out of nowhere one day, and it just states, hey, Shay.
Hey, Shay. Exclamation point. Smiley face.
Oh, bubbly. Just want to let you know, I'm going to put my 2 weeks notice in, and I'm going to just contract. I'm not going to say her name with this client directly. Don't worry, though. She's going to keep her contract, and she is still going to work with the design and marketing team. Which is great because you're not going to have to replace me administratively.
Because I'll still be on.
If you see my face on YouTube, like,
right,
the audacity. I call my lawyer. I'm like, freaking out. I don't want to do the wrong thing.
This was one where, like, on the other side for me, I'm like, Shay, you can't send a response. It can't be you.
No.
What would come out of those fingers right now would not.
Yeah, you have to know when you're emotional and you have to like stop yourself because let your emotions out with an appropriate channel and like not there, right? So we call a lawyer. He's like, she does not have to do her 2 week notice, terminate, remove access, all the things. Okay,
Should we say what we changed the email password to? Probably not.
I don't know. I can't remember, but I know it was hilarious. And you were like, what's the pat? Did I spit it out?
Yeah, you did it. You're the only one with access to the email.
All right. We'll decide after if we're going to delete this. Go ahead.
So in a frenzy, as you should be, I am not saying that you didn't have every right to be in a horrified frenzy, shuts her out of the email and changes the password to sneaky one exclamation point. And I was like, are we telling Samantha that that's what you change into? And she's like, yes, she gets us now. Let's tell her. And Samantha's dying. Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. Okay, yes. So that's on the assistant perspective. Crazy. I also take a face-to-face with that client, which their stories were not consistent from what one person just said to the other. So we know we're in cahoots. Said that I already was aware and it was okay. Like, in what world?
Whose idea it was? Who snaked who? We don't know. Doesn't matter. You're both the villains of this horror story.
And I got on that call and we're still allowing to execute. I mean, I terminated her contract. Like, you've broken our trust and our loyalties. We work so incredibly hard. I don't think anyone genuinely understands how much time and money goes into finding talented humans who sometimes present very talented. And then when initially we begin working with them are not. So you have all these wasted dollars. Oh, my word.
There's a lot to be coached, a lot to be trained, a lot to be taught.
This person wasn't even, I mean, maybe her contract, she was in like 6 months or something like that. Anyway, the audacity that she thought that she could continue to work like nothing else.
Got shut down quickly on that one-on-one, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I just said, you know, I poured my heart out to her and just very transparently. And also, just so everyone is aware, I respected, I said, I'm not going to terminate and cut you out. Like, I don't want to put you in a bad spot. I enabled her to complete all of her projects and have 2 open months with us. Come to find out, we're still allowing it. And it's been like 6 months, you know, since this. But you need to work through my executive, Samantha, and we have broken trust.
Yeah, like, you can't communicate directly with our team now. We don't trust you.
And I could have really allowed my emotions to pour into her, but I didn't because that's bad business. But I am dumbfounded that the audacity of another owner. And I said this here. I said, so just to put this in perspective, because my team is executing all your drafting and we know your projects, does that mean that I should contact your client base and then offer them a discount?
Well, we could do this a little less expensively.
I would never.
But don't worry, you won't have to replace us.
No, it's just the fact that I would never in a million years do that to another business owner. We've been propositioned by a company that we subcontracted, and he was a terrible business owner and leader. And when we ended our contract, his employee came to us and was like, I want to work directly for you guys. And I was like, sorry, no, I don't even care if you're not working with, I would never. That's just not how you play the game. You play the game honestly, truthfully, with transparency and an extreme high level of accountability. That's who I am. Anything that we do is with the purest intentions to support other business owners in succeeding. Plain, period, simple.
I wish we had prepared the brain dump that you sent me of your like emotional response and then my like translation.
Oh my God. Because yeah, I had to get it out.
Professional response of what ended up getting sent.
Right. I didn't even craft the assistant's message. I dumped it to someone I trusted who crafted it in a way that made sense. She turned around the assistant. This was the best part. When she was like, I am so surprised. And my response was only, I'm surprised. You're surprised. What? Oh, P.S. I bought this assistant a laptop.
Yeah. Always doing the most.
And you thought that was okay. And worse off nightmare, an owner of another interior design company didn't even listen to what I said, which is you're building a team on process, not people. You don't do that. People aren't going to be your forever fix. And that's okay. I still feel we did the right thing.
But you know what? Here's what I'll say. I hope they're both doing great. We wish you all the best. Bless your hearts.
Yeah, no, same. 100%. Honestly, every horror you strengthen from, it is a lesson to be learned. Non-disclosures and non-competes, which were getting signed by new staff. She beat me to the punch by like 6 weeks. Good for you. You got me. It also still is on me. I'm not out here mad like at her. It's an unbelievable situation.
Jaw-dropping story.
Yeah, it's one thing to go steal and cut your ties and be gone and know you did the wrong thing and just move on in life knowing you did the wrong thing. But to think you can do that and then still maintain business with me and think that that was the right... No, that is just unbelievable. So that was a learning curve.
Middle of the road horror story there.
Have your staff definitely signing non-disclosures, non-competes, protecting your personal assets and your client base is totally more than something that can be withheld.
All right, Jay, hit us with something that's a bit more on the client or the project side of things, a horror story that you've had or gone through really in your interior design business and work.
Oh, God. I hate even talking about this one. I hate even
She's starting
about
to pop
this.
Her knuckles. For those of you that can't hear it over the audio, the anxiety.
No, it's a tube of lotion. But yes, I am.
She's fidgeting.
Starting to
She's
fidget
fidgeting.
Away.
Yeah, the anxiety is coming through.
I have two that are in the same category now that I'm thinking about it.
Perfect.
The first one will go to premature times, initial growth markers when I'm hanging a lot of custom drapery.
Hustling, straight hustling.
Hustling.
Like, why are you doing this actually when you think about it?
Fears in Manhattan that you can have in installing drapery, especially into ceilings, is hitting the sprinkler system. Oof, you'll flood out an entire floor. Or hitting a water pipe. Either one of those things. You're on floor 52.
Right.
You hit that water line. That water is not just damaging the 52nd floor. As long as that water is going on, it is going to be trickling down to the next apartment and the next apartment. Just the dollar signs will be climbing on the level of damage. And P.S., if you hit the sprinkler system, it's going to be like black and disgusting water because it's been sitting there for ages. Not clean water that's coming out. It's disgusting. Okay. We are installing draperies into a soffit. There's not supposed to be any water lines there. There's not supposed to be anything there. It's a soffit. Okay. We go to pre-drill and hole. P.S. It's concrete ceiling. There should be nothing. We pre-drill in. We pull the drill out. And all of a sudden, water is pouring out of this hole. I am like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This is a staged unit. The panic unfolds.
Panic sets in.
Because like already there's an area rug. We need to move quickly, people. We're installing drapery. We don't have buckets. I see a faux plant in the corner of the room. I ditch out the faux plant. I take this massive vase and I'm like, okay, we have got step one. Until we fill this vase and then at least the sink is close by and we're going to hold. One person just hold and run while the other person is calling the super. I was panicking. So we call the super. There's not supposed to be.
And you're assuming the worst. You have to be assuming the worst.
The water is pouring out. Like, yes, the water lines need to be turned off. Somehow there's a freaking water line in this soffit. How? Cody's saying that, like, there's no way. There's just simply no way. I'm like, well, obviously the water is coming out. Like, what do you mean? It's impossible. Clearly, like, we're like arguing. He's telling me it's impossible. I'm like, I am seeing the impossible possible. What do you mean?
I'm seeing physical evidence.
We're calling the super. The super is like, what? Also, like, saying the same thing. Couldn't be. Like, just turn the water off. Like,
I'm about to have to dump the vase, people.
These men telling me it's not possible. What am I just, like, making this up out of thin air? Like, here's the water. Well, and this is like a huge vase, like a floor plant. Thankfully, it didn't overfill. But by time the super got upstairs, the water had just stopped. And so what the assumption was is there was just standing water sitting perfectly magically in that ceiling, perhaps from a prior leak upstairs that had come down and just because of the concrete.
Could be.
It was terrible. I was, again, I was just like, oh my God, I'm thinking insurance. How much does my insurance policy cover? Oh my God, this is literally what Cody had said, like his worst fear. He had shared his worst fear when he first started installing with me was like, you got to look out for what's in the ceiling. You know, that's the only thing that can go wrong here is you hit something in the ceiling. Okay, same thing. So fast forward, we move to Florida. We take on our first big design construction project where I design everything and Mark was doing the build out. There's an outdoor section and we're building this kind of like outdoor patio section. It was a grocery store. We were building in like a cafe. It was phenomenal. Now in Florida, because of the wind code, you have to drill down 4 feet for your structurals and concrete them in. So we do the right thing. You call 411. They come, they survey, they drop flags. If there's gas lines, water lines, anything under where you're about to drill in. And apparently, who knows, that if they do come and you do hit something, it makes them responsible, not you.
Perfect. Just how we like it.
I don't really know. Who knows? But we were calling in the middle of one. So I get a call and Mark's like, there's water pouring out everywhere and it's about to be pouring into the grocery store. And I'm like, what? He's like, I drilled down. There's no markers. There should be nothing here, but there is a water line and you need to call Steve. Let him know. We got to find out where the shutoff is. It was terrible. Like a fire extinguisher that like got chopped. Picture that, just pouring.
And I will say, we talk about you and your panic responses or whatever, but like Mark is not built for stressful situations, I feel. But I've never seen him on the job. So now that was going to be my question to you.
Actually, wrong. Mark's very calm. He will fix it. He's just like notifying me, call Steve. I'm typically the one because I'll deal with the administrative consequences that is triggered and in a panic. Mark will stay very, very calm and solve the problem. So in between, now I'm calling 411. I'm calling Steve. 411 comes and is like, I can't solve the problem. And they leave. They leave with this water just pouring out. He's like, what? The guy who owns the pizza shop, who they didn't even know was the owner. It's like super cool. They have like a garden that they raise their own stuff for their pizza. Super cool. Shout out Townies. But they don't know. And the guy sees like, what's going on? What's the problem? Lots of commotion going on. Hit the water line. He's like, I think I know where the shutoff is. At the far corner of the street in the ground. Now they have no shovels because I saw Mark. He sent me pictures after. They are barehanding. Digging to the shutoff. Digging, digging, digging. And so is the owner of this store who Mark and Steve think is like a worker, you know, that's just like right. Helping. They don't know it's the actual owner of that establishment. That's also bear clawing to the shutoff. They find the shutoff. They solve the problem. Mark fixes it. Whatever. We don't bill the client. We don't deal with 411. The whole thing was fine. But of course, I'm panic stricken in the middle. And yeah, water lines just destroy your life. You know, really can just Coster.
This Halloween, that's what will be haunting your nightmares.
Yeah. Now, what I'm working on becoming really good at is kind of just letting it come in, somehow being unbothered.
I wish you could see my face.
Getting a little bit better. But you know what it is? I'll say that it really has to be a pretty huge issue now.
Yeah. The little stuff is rolling off your back.
I do think that there are things that years ago would have really bothered me. Like I wouldn't have been able to let that go. Now we're past that. They have to be pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
Where I get triggered is like in the sense of overwhelm of wanting things to move faster than they really can, you know? And then I'm just like,
yeah.
But that's a little bit different.
Totally. I agree.
Mostly now I get brought into other people's crazy client drama to just pass it over and then I'll handle the call, because having a client call because you don't like your sofa really is an unbothering conversation to me.
Right.
You feel your pillows are too small. Let's chat about it. The seating is not really right. Let's talk about the insert. There's all that stuff in terms of the actual client drama that absolutely happens.
Keep the level of emergency in perspective.
Yeah, the trade destroyed your porous tile. He is going to rip it out and do it again. And that stinks, you know, but like resetting you emotionally there, unbothered. Now it's like the higher level business stuff that is a learning curve from myself. You're bothered by it. And you're just, and that's kind of what I've have to self-talk with myself.
Right.
Business can be a horror, but I think you have to change your mentality to just understand that as you grow, you're just welcoming more of it. And you kind of just have to invite it, get used to it, not let it bother you to be a horror, because it's never going to stop. I think I just had that shower talk with myself. Like, this is never going to stop. So we're going to have to change your life to adapt, because it's just never going to stop.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You just have to make that work inside and build leadership around you to support those higher level things, to share the weight. And you said that to me when I was having some horrors of training. You're like, this doesn't need to be you anymore. I value you for showing up and wanting to lead and help. But this one, we got it.
Why?
Why are we making this a horror in your life? We got the horrors. We all do. I think you just have to learn how to control them. Control your reaction is the hardest part of the game. And then figure out how to thin them off your plate without you feeling guilty about letting it go. There's a level of guilt with being like, well, if I'm not going to do it, then someone else has to. And then I'm just putting that weight on someone else. But it might feel differently for you and Samantha training. I have no idea. We haven't gotten into that. But I think that about wraps it up with enough horrors for today.
I know. I was about to say, I feel like the through line is like, it just feels horrible when you make a mistake and it's inside your control. And then I'm like, actually, no, because it feels really horrible when it's outside your control and it's not something you
can. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just going to feel horrible. Mwahaha.
Listen, if it was inside of your control, you take accountability for it. You won't feel guilty. You fix it, repair it so it doesn't happen again. You move on. When it's out of your control, you just have to evaluate that. Out of your control, you do the best you can inside of that, and you don't stay stuck, and hope you have insurance.
And hope you have insurance.
Yeah, no. Make sure you're doing all the right things, of course, but it happens, you know, and it's going to continue to happen. There's no way of avoiding it. There's only ways of layering in some high level support if you want to delegate away from it, which we have our top level clients doing, which I'm doing right now too. Just get to a point where your cup is just full. And if your cup is already full, you're just going to be easily triggered by these little horrors that really aren't that big of a deal. They feel like a big deal because your cup is full.
Right.
And it's very hard to let go of things that you feel like should be in your cup. For me, it's, I feel guilt because, again, it's just putting more on someone else that I feel like already has a lot on their plate, but it has to happen. And you know what? That person is going to figure out how to offload. If it's too much and it's pushing their cup full, then we have to evaluate things in that cup that are lesser worthy of your time or easy trained or easy duplicated, so that from top down, you can keep spilling off your cup and live a balanced life, which is easier said than done.
And at the end of the day, all of those are great horrors to have because that means you're busy, and that's way better than the opposite. So go you.
Yeah. Welcome in the horrors. Welcome in the horrors. Until next time. As we wrap up today's Halloween special, we hope our design horror stories made you feel a little less alone in the sometimes frightening world of interior design. Remember, every business has its own horror stories, but it's how you handle those scary moments that matters most.
Whether you're dealing with IRS nightmares, tricky clients, or just the everyday chaos of running a design business, know that we're right there with you.
And if you'd like support, whether you need advice, a boost of encouragement, or just someone who understands what you're going through, we would love to connect. You can always schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com or check the show notes for a direct link.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please help us reach more interior designers just like you by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen. We'll be releasing a new episode every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe and get notified when a new episode drops.
And if you want more honest conversations, resources, and practical tips to help you lead with confidence, make sure to join our email list at fordesignerbusiness.com/subscribe.
Remember, we're here cheering you on as you build the business and the life that you deserve. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.